Amen. Thank you, Sister Clark. What a blessing. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to 2 Corinthians. We'll turn a little bit in our Bibles today. I think it's all right to use it every once in a while, isn't it? Amen. And 2 Corinthians, chapter number 11 this morning. It's good to have a few folks visiting that we know from other places that are serving around the state of Florida. Amen. It's good to see you. Brother Hector and Miss Sharon, amen. Good to see them and serve with us for a long time and went to our college. We're so glad to see them this morning. And then Brother Brinson, it's so good to see you this morning, my brother. Amen. And I couldn't help but sit here. You know, we have some of our college graduates and that span and just thinking about things and what God does. And I didn't say it during the announcement time, but Brother Keith texted me last Sunday. Really Monday, I think, he texted me down from Lake Placid in the church down there in Highlands, and he said, I had conflicting reports. One was 99 and the other was 100 in church on Sunday. And so either way, that's a great victory. That's a high day for them. And so I'm just thinking about Brother Brinson being here and Pastor telling me in the early days how much help they were as we tried to get started here in Haines City, and how they sent people to visit. And how he took a lot of counsel from you, my brother. And I think about just the blessing. Look around at what's here today. And that's just when God invests and people invest in us. Amen. And I just think about it. Wasn't that far away. A church in Winter Haven decided that there needed to be a church in Haines City. And they planted our church and sent a man over here and sent men and sent missions money and just invested. And you say, well, it wasn't all that long ago, just 60-some years ago. We're working on 60, amen, come November, right? 62, I think. And so, you know, it's you say, well, what are you getting to, preacher? I'm just saying we need to be about what they did, amen? Just keep on keeping on, amen? Planting churches, investing in the work of God, winning souls, helping other people that have that need help. What a blessing it is. And I realize for myself, every once in a while I pinch myself that I get to pastor here. Amen. And the Lord lets me work and be here in his work. And he could use me anywhere, but he let me pastor here. Amen. In the greatest church in the United States of America. We had the greatest pastor. And I'm just going on and bragging the greatest people in the United States, the pastor. Amen. And I know I'm taking a little bit of my time, but just bear with me, amen. I'm enjoying myself this morning and just reveling in it. I had a great week getting to see my grandbaby again, amen. And the circumstances being with the funeral, but you know, it was such a blessing when you go and you're at a funeral of someone who is saved and knows where they're going to be, amen, when they die. It's such a celebration rather than, and a memorial service rather than a funeral dirge and where you feel, you know, you just know you're going to see them again. Amen. And their testimony was such. Even her husband, Brother Billy, back home, just, you know, his mention of his wife. And again, didn't talk about all the sickness. He mentioned the very last moments of her life and how as she went to be with the Lord, he said the pain ceased. And a smile came on her face as she entered into the glory of the Lord. Amen. And just, you know, we live in a day and age where so many people have so many drugs pumped into them, and she died at home. But sometimes, you know, we don't get to see those things. And we heard the old stories about how folks talked about crossing over. Amen. And it's just good to hear another one where as people cross over to the other side, amen, there's joy. And again, in that rest that's in the Lord. This morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we're going to preach a message for the title for the tape room will be False Substitutes. False Substitutes. I don't know about you, and I'm going to try to condense my amount of introduction this morning because of the time frame that we're in now. But just want to mention that, you know, substitutes aren't all they're cracked up to be. Amen? I don't know how many of you enjoy Pop-Tarts like I do. Okay? But a fake Pop-Tart just ain't the same. I'm just going to tell you, you know, the Great Value brand is not a Pop-Tart. It looks like a Pop-Tart, but it's not a Pop-Tart. Now, I'm not on a mission to teach you about what Pop-Tarts are this morning, but I just want to make sure that you realize that sometimes a generic brand can get it close. And it gets it done. But it ain't always the same, is it? Sometimes it's just a false substitute. You say, what do you mean? I'm just saying I grew up in a world where I heard people preach, you get what you pay for. And sometimes that's true. And other times, that's not true, isn't it? There are things, you know, you don't have to necessarily drive a Mercedes-Benz to have a car that'll get you from point A to point B. Now, if you're here with a Mercedes-Benz, I'm not after you this morning. I hope you'll stay, and I hope you tithe. I'm not after anybody, and I'm not trying to hurt anybody with that, but you know there's a balance in all those things. Think about even when you cook. You know, there's things when it calls for sugar. Salt's not a good substitute. Both of them look the same. They don't taste the same. They don't do the same thing in a dish, do they? Now, there are some places where you don't want to put sugar where you ought to put salt. So false substitutes are one of those things. I heard just the other day, and maybe this is too close to home, but, you know, I mean, somebody substituted, you know, Miracle Whip for Cool Whip. That ain't the same thing. Don't taste the same. This is a false substitute. And when we think about all the things in the world and how we've come to a place where we are, we realize that there are a bunch of false substitutes out there, and we buy them every day, and sometimes we're sorry, and sometimes we are delighted that it does the same thing that we thought it would do. But the problem is people in the commerce of life, we take those things. Think about even, we used to have representatives that represented us in Congress. In the state legislature. That's what they were called. They were representatives, senators. Yeah. All right? Now they're politicians. It's a false substitute. It's not the same thing. That one is carried with the wind, the waves of the wind of time and whatever blows their way. The other person went to represent the people of their district. They went to go and vote the way their people that they represented voted. Or wanted them to vote. We live in a day and age. I am thankful for Florida. I'm thankful for our governor. I'm thankful for all that's getting done up there right now. And there's a lot of people that think that they're ramrodding a bunch of things through here in the state. But I'm just going to tell you, you know, it's a blessing to me that to see that we have voted in some folks that have some common sense and don't want to wait. They got business to do. That's what their purpose is. You know that, right? They're supposed to go there and do the will of the people, and they're getting it done. And you say, well, that's not my will. Well, you know, again, I'll go back to common sense. Not everybody's got it. My daddy used to say, everybody's got an opinion. Just like they got armpits. Some of them stink. Amen. It's just the way it is. We live in a day and age where if we're not careful, we get to the place where we think that's normal. But the sad commentary on the world is that the godly morality that our country used to live and breathe because they knew the Word of God. And even if they weren't really church-going people, the country itself, America as a whole, had a godly morality or a set of values that came from the Word of God. And as we've digressed, we've come from some false substitute of morality for a worldly morality that has this mindset. It has no boundaries. Think about this. It has no compass. And it has, think about this, and beyond that, it has really no, it's of none effect. It has no purpose outside of replacing that which had purpose, that which had a compass, that which had a goal to complete and really to keep people in bounds under God's rule, God's law. But really, I mean, again, folks, it wasn't man that came up with thou shalt not kill. Man left to himself and the Old West handled it themselves with gunslingers. When you take God's word and God's word reigns supreme, it has boundaries for people so that we can live and work and do things in what we call liberty. The problem is we think that where there's no, if we're lawless, we have liberty. We're truly free. But it is truly when we have laws and we put them in effect, that we can have liberty inside of them. And we miss that. Somehow along the way, we've been sold the lie of the devil that we need to throw off godly morality and the word of God and trade it for a false substitute for the worldly morality. I want to read you the definition of morality in the 1828 dictionary is this: the doctrine or system of moral duties or the duties of men in their social character and ethics. Webster often does this, but you know, he doesn't necessarily reference these things. He writes a statement or his opinion underneath of this in the dictionary. He writes this: the system of morality to be gathered from the writings of ancient sages. Now get what he's saying here. He's already given it's a doctrinal system of moral duties. That's what morality is. Then he says the system of morality to be gathered from writings of ancient sages falls short. He actually uses this term, falls very short of that is delivered in the gospel. We miss sometimes the truth of, here Webster says, listen, you know, our colleges teach our young people to go back, way back. I use this in Sunday school, but I mean, even our Bible uses terms like Epicureans and Stoics and groups of people that existed before Christ came in the fullness of time to die on Calvary. And all of them had moral compasses that were outside of God's word, his Old Testament law. And some of them, you know, again, the Epicureans, was that it was the chief duty of man to fulfill the happiness or the lusts of the flesh. We still have those around today. They fill college campuses and teach our young people that is their purpose in this life, not to be godly, not to live righteously or to be a good American, but to make themselves happy at anybody else's expense. Morality protects us from each other, folks. And a false substitute of these things only hurts. America has accepted the writings, I'll say it like that, the writings of ancient sages as a false substitute for the word of God. How about this? On the subjects of morality, number one is what I've been speaking about, marriage. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we have a good definition of what marriage is, but we have to battle for that every day right now in this America. They've accepted a false substitute of money. Our economic system is breaking, back-breaking, and on the verge of collapse because of the lack of common sense and godly morality. They lost the idea that they ought to balance a budget. If you don't do that, they'll take your house. If you don't pay your bills, you know, you just can't keep borrowing. Well, maybe you could if you were taken from everybody in your neighborhood. Maybe you could if you said, you know what, everybody in my development needs to just give me $20 more so I can make ends meet. The ludicrous thing that we live in this day and age is that we, again, when you take away godly morals, you don't care about morality, marriage, money. How about manhood? This isn't Johnny come lately. I was born into a world where they used to call it unisex and pressing on us. Now it's transgenderism. We think it just showed up into town, but they've been trying to put man's clothes on women and women's clothes on men for a long time. Now they just came to a place where they want to put it right in your face. They want to put it on every commercial. They want you to choke on their wickedness. And you to accept it, because if not, you're the one that has a problem. No, no, no. This is not the America that we was established by God. This is not the America that we ought to be going forward in. We ought to change back to the way we were, where godly morality was, where we put our feet in the sand and we said, we're not crossing this line. This is where God had me stand. This is the right moral ground. And I'm not going to accept a worldly morality that makes me happy and everybody else sad. Or where I'm the chief person. I'm the son and everything revolves around me. No, there's a son of God and everything in the world ought to revolve around him. That's godly morality. How about this? Think about this world trading out this for that, what the ancient sages, you know, that it even changed in our country today what people think the mission of the church is. Or what a church is. You know, everything that calls itself a church isn't a church. Everything that calls itself a church doesn't have a mission. A lot of them don't even call themselves a church anymore. They boiled themselves down to one name. Left off whatever the denomination was, and if they were a church. You say, you're just getting hard today. I'm holding back. They've gone even farther than that to the place where the gospel message of Jesus Christ has been watered down, even if beyond that, perverted for the devices of men, for a worldly morality. Do you know the sad part about that is there have been good men. I was just listening in a little bit on Sunday night, but I mean, there's a day and age where if we're not careful, we'll miss the fact that even in our age, some of the people that we hold dear used to be independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptists and preach the Word of God hard, straight, and exactly the way the world needed it. And had they stayed the course, we may live in a different world. But they buddied up to everything that came down the pike. They compromised their beliefs and watered down the gospel to the place where people that could have known what a good church was to go to, they didn't worry about that because they preached a worldly morality. You say, why don't you name names? Hey, it's not like the ones of the past are the only ones. We still got them on TV in the future where we live today. And we tune them in and think they're so great. We pick up their books and read it. And all it is worldly mentality, mindset. Think yourself happy. That ain't what the book says. There's a mindset, but it's the mind of Christ. We have come to a place in America today, if we're not careful, we'll believe everything that comes down the pike. And there are some things that we ought not water down, we ought not mix up with the world, and we ought to hold fast to. And we desperately need to hold on to them. How about just simple salvation? The simplicity that is in Christ. There is a plethora, that is a multitude. There are many things out there today that mix every other thing under the sun plus Jesus Christ. And that's not salvation. That perverts the simplicity that is in Christ and is a false substitute for the true gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 says in these first five verses, would to God, Paul writing to the Corinthians, I don't know about you, but with his heart's desire, with a beckoning prayer to the people at Corinth in his letter, he says, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. What does that mean? It means they had lost their common sense about some things. I'm going to speak to you the inspired word of God, and you are going to hear it as folly. Is that not the day and age we live in? Is that not when you stand up and preach the truth, people think you're just putting on a show? You're getting excited for no reason? That there's really not a problem out there? I can just live and let live and live a worldly morality when godly morality still is stamped in the Word of God and should be practiced among God's people? Would to God, he says in verse 1, ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Now, this may take you off bounds a little bit. He says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. See, what is he jealous over? Well, this is the second book of the Corinthians. This is the second time Paul's written. This is a place, and if you read through this chapter itself, you would realize he's going to say to them, he's going to say in so many different ways, I love you and I've invested in you. That he has put his time in them. That he's even going to use the terminology that I took money from another church and didn't charge you. He's going to say, my missions church has sent me to you and paid for me to be there, and you paid nothing to have me be your preacher, and I invested in you. And here now you're believing a worldly morality. Now you're taking a false substitute. He says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I might present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now, I don't know where you are today, but let me tell you, God has not changed his mind about what he wants from his church. God has not changed his mind how pure a bride he'd like to see. He's not changed his mind one iota about what his word is true and what we ought to be. And he says, listen, I'm jealous over you. And I think every man in America could say amen. I'm allowed to be jealous over my wife. She's mine. I made a commitment to her and she made a commitment to me. To keep myself. Chasten myself to only her. He compares this idea of false substitutes with substituting your husband for another man. Amen. Substituting a wife for another woman. We live in a day and age, if we're not careful, we miss some of these things that are in the Word of God. And he says, this is how, if we go to Ephesians, Paul talks about it, and he talks about the marriage relationship between the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I've espoused you to one husband. And the sad part is, we cannot love the Lord Jesus Christ and love the world. We can't love one without hating the other. I can't be God's morality and love the world's morality. One of them has to reign supreme in my life. One of them has to be a false substitute. He goes on and he says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. You see that back end says, ye might well bear with him. He says, my fear and my jealousy over you is somebody might come and preach another Jesus, and you might believe it. Somebody might come and tell you of a different spirit other than the Holy Spirit, and you might accept it. My fear is that, he says, that somebody might preach another gospel to you, and you might believe it. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul, miles from this place, longing and brokenhearted over the people that he has invested in and he loved? And he's like, I'm so scared. He says, I would to God you would bear with me a little bit. Because he says, I'm fearful that you're going to think I'm foolish. And they're truthful. I'm fearful that you're going to believe the lie of the devil like Eve did. You see, the devil didn't turn the whole gospel on its head, did he? He didn't, the whole gospel truth, he didn't completely exit out. He changed it just a little bit. He said, thou shalt not surely die. What I mean, even in that truth that he's trying to sell, he's saying, hey, you know, you got body, soul, and spirit here. All of that's not going to go at once. Now, we don't read that in the scripture that way, do we? But he just said, you know, not surely die. Why? Because she's thinking with her stomach. She's not thinking spiritually. She's not thinking with godly morality. She's thinking about, she looked upon the fruit, and it was all right to eat. She could reckon that it wasn't poison, and it was not going to kill her body, but she didn't realize it was going to wreck her relationship with the Holy God. Do you know how many times we just think that instead of having godly morality, we accept the world's morality and we think, I can just have a little touch. I can have just a little taste. Listen, I don't know about you this morning, but I just want to lay the foundation. We talked about generics. I mean, just think about a Twinkie, folks. It's the simplest thing. The simplicity of the Twinkie. It's not hard to make. But there's only one Twinkie. There are many imitations, and it don't taste like a Twinkie. But we miss that. That there's some things that are just simple things in this life that even though people can make a substitute or a false substitute, it can look like it. But it doesn't taste like it. How about the gospel? Do you know we live in a day and age where, you know, people go to church because they want to leave feeling good? Instead of hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, instead of hearing a message on godly morality, they want a false substitute. Do you know they heap to themselves teachers? These are those guys that get in the pulpit and they'll tell you flat out, I'm not called to preach. Huh? So what are you doing? So why are you doing that? Amen. Amen. Now, I mean, I'm not into naming names, but his name's Joel Osteen. Amen. Think about this. We live in a day and age with a bunch of mama called preachers. Yeah. And his own admission was he didn't want to preach. He didn't want a pastor. He didn't want anything to do with it. But the people took him and made him the pastor. That's a bunch of foolishness. You know God picks the man. God calls the man. God empowers the man. Outside of that, it's just worldly morality. It's just worldly. All right? You pick it up and you set it up. If God's not in it, I don't want anything to do with it. Whatever happened to a day and age where a man got up and preached the Bible unashamedly because he was preaching God's message? He was God's man. He was sent from God to show up in the place with fire and preach the word of God. But somehow we decided we want a bunch of false substitute teachers that'll tickle our ear and that's what'll make me happy. Instead of saying, give me the word of God. Give it to me straight. Don't water it down. Don't cut it down with things. Give me the gospel as simple as you can do it. Amen. See, we live in a day and age where people want to water everything down. They have fake substitutes. Think about this. In verse number 2, we talked about this jealousy for I have espoused you to one husband. We have false substitutes because people cheat on the truth. They can't tell you. Listen, I wouldn't give you 2 red nickels for anybody that would show up and then say, well, it's all the word of God. That means they believe that any Bible. Now, I will tell you this. Most of them have a bunch of truth in them, but it's just watered down. So why wouldn't you just preach the pure, unadulterated word of God? Why wouldn't you get the Bible that you could say, I stand on this book, the King James Bible, because it's pure, without error. It's the word. It's the English speaking Bible for God's people. What kind of preacher would you? Why would you set a man up that would sell? Well, you could bring whatever you want. You can read whatever you like. It ain't going to hurt anything. That's wicked. A man that knows the truth and knows where to find the truth, what would be a false guide or a false substitute for a man of God? We live in a day and age where you couldn't find a man in the pulpit hardly with a backbone anywhere. But I'm thankful. Listen, you say, well, what are you preaching against yourself? No, sirree, Bob. I had a great example. I had a man with a stone cold steel backbone that preached ahead of me and trained me. Amen. You say, what do you mean? I mean, I heard him say from this pulpit, if you don't like it, you can meet me and Smith and Wesson at the back door. If that ain't hardcore, I don't know what is. You say that might offend a few people. Listen, it just lets you know exactly where he stood. I believe the truth so much, I'm willing to fight for it. Hey, folks, you're looking at a man today. I'm willing to fight for it. I'm looking at a group of people, I believe, that gather together because there's something that we believe is willing. We are willing to fight for. And it is the Word of God. It's the pure Word of God. It's a godly morality. It's not taking a false substitute, but believing in the true substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ to save a sinner that's closest hell, from the lowest gutter to the highest heaven, anybody in between. Everybody that wants to accept Jesus Christ can come through the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, not some false substitute. You see, there's a false substitute coming, and his name is the Antichrist. And his spirit is in the world today. You don't believe that? He's working in a lot of churches. I'm just going to tell you right now, everything that's got a movement and got a spirit working in them, it's not always the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't going to have anything to do with a bunch of drums, a bunch of all kinds of music that amps everything up. You say, oh, preacher, what are you getting at? I'm getting at, listen, God has a way. And it's a godly way. God has a godly morality, and it's a godly morality. You say, you're just punching holes in all kinds of things this morning. No, I just want people to know. I believe we live in a day where people won't call it like they see it. I believe we live in a day where people won't just preach plainly what's in the Word of God. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He says, but I fear lest by any means the serpent beguile you. Do you know that there are people all over our country that are being tempted, just like Eve, to believe a lie? Yep. To believe a half-truth. Yep. There are religions that preach that you can lose your salvation. That's a false gospel. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Once I've accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, I didn't do anything to do it, get it, and I'm not doing anything to keep it. He's the same one keep me. The book of Jude says the same that's able to keep me from falling and also to present me faultless. Hey, I don't know about you, but I know for me, even if I do the best I can, I'm never going to be seen as faultless unless I'm seen covered. If I'm seen forgiven. If I'm seen redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He says, a substitute, another Jesus. Do you know there are folks that preach other Jesuses out there? There are people that believe Jesus is a good man. He was a good teacher. They believe that he did a great work. But they fall short of saying that he is the very Son of God. That he is the creator God who in the beginning stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. He's the God that knelt down and formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That's the Jesus that I serve. He's the same Jesus that came from heaven, lived a perfect life, tempted in every point, as you're tempted in and I'm tempted in, yet without sin. The same Jesus that went to Calvary, who knelt down in the garden the night before and said, Lord, if there's any way that you could take this cup from me, he says, but thy will be done. And he went on to the cross. He gave up his spirit to God and then laid down his life. And then took my hell and your hell for me and for you. And then rose in victory. That's the Jesus we preach. That's the Jesus we believe in. That's the Jesus that has victory. That is the Jesus that's not a false substitute. There'll be a false substitute. Instead of the one that came and died for you, there'll be one that comes and expects you to die for him. That'll be the Antichrist. Folks, we live in a day and age if we're not careful. Listen, if you're here today and you have believed in something else other than the truth. See, the gospel's simple. It's simple. Jesus came and died on Calvary, rose again and paid for your sin debt. And if you will simply put your faith and trust in him, you can be saved. It's not about your works. It's not about baptism. It's not about your service to the church and being a good Sunday school teacher. It's all about the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary and his resurrection from the dead. And if you believe in that, that simple gospel, you can trust in him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that he is raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No trouble, no extra things added to it. No, and then you got to keep it. All the things that man adds to it, all the false substitutes that man has put out for the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I beg you this morning, don't leave this place believing in a false substitute. Don't believe that I think I'll be okay if I have my good outweighs my bad. Let me just clue you in. Your bad will always outweigh your good, not because you're a bad person, but because you're a sinner, and sin sends people to hell. But the sinless one came and paid for your sin. And if you'll accept his payment for your sin, you're not accepting a false substitute. You're accepting the true and faithful substitute, Jesus Christ, who came and took your place and paid your way to heaven. Listen, today, please don't leave this place lost. Please don't leave this place believing a lie. Please turn to Jesus Christ. Paul said this, I would to God you would bear with me a little. I thank you for listening. But more than that, my heart is broken because I believe that in this building today, there's somebody who's lost and on their way to hell. And without accepting Jesus today as their Savior, you'll go on believing a lie. You'll go on with a false substitute. And I beg you, listen, my heart, I would to God that you'd get saved today. I know that it won't be easy. I realize that you'll have to walk down an old-fashioned aisle. I know that you could meet us in the back. It's just simply trusting in him, folks. It's just simply accepting what Christ has done for you. It's so simple, but sometimes we make it so hard. Sometimes we make it more than it has to be. We just need to trust in him. We need to put our faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary. With heads bowed and eyes closed today, if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you, when the invitation begins, for to make your way to the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. If you're here in the building and you've been saved, but you've never taken that first step of obedience, you never have been baptized into the church. Listen, I want you to do whatever God wants you to do today. As I pray here, you pray and ask God to help you be brave enough, to be strong enough, to be obedient enough to do what God asked you to do today. Dear God, I beg you to help folks. Holy Spirit of God, now I ask you to help draw men to the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray you'd help young ladies and men across the room. If they need to be baptized, they'll get baptized. If they need to be saved, help them to be saved. Well, I ask it in the name above every name, in the name of Jesus. We ask it, amen. Would you stand to your feet with me as Brother Bert sings, You Come.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
Would you bow your head and close your eyes with us this morning? If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you may never have been in anything like this before. This is an old-fashioned invitation, and we're inviting you to step out and come to the front and let us take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Wouldn't it be great to know that today? If you're here and you don't know heaven will be your home, the Bible clearly tells how if you'll just simply accept Christ as your Savior, you can know that. Let us take the Scripture and show you this morning. If you're here and you need to be baptized and join the church, step out and do that this morning. The baptismal tank is ready. Everything is prepared. Just step out and come, and whatever God is asking you to do.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, wretched, blind, sight rich is healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come.
Some things to share with you this morning. We'll let you be seated, except for these folks in the front. You just come on.